From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. In just a few hours, under tents that have been set up on the west steps of the state capitol because of the rain and wind, Gavin Newsom will become the 40th governor of California. And Jerry Brown's historic four terms will come to an end. The leadership of this massive state will shift in ways that can only be speculative at this moment. At 11 with KQED, we will bring you special live coverage of the inauguration. If we go back in time to 1999, Joseph Graham Davis Jr. was being sworn in with great celebration as California's 37th governor. Gray Davis, as he's been known, would serve that term and then be reelected. But just weeks later, voters took him out of office and voted in Arnold Schwarzenegger. So how does Governor Davis tell that story? Last week, in a conversation recorded here at Cap Radio, I asked him for his version of the recall.
Every governor takes office realizing that the people who put him there also have the power to repeal legislation he passes, initiate laws of their own, or recall the governor. That just comes with the territory. So I look at it as a great honor to have been elected twice. The third time I was unelected by the people, and Arnold Schwarzenegger replaced me. But in those 5 years that we were privileged to have, you know, we led the country in all kinds of areas, signed the first bill banning greenhouse gases in America, tailpipe emissions in particular. In 2002, Fran Pavley carried the bill. We had the most diverse judiciary and the most diverse appointments of anyone in California at that point. We did some great stuff on stem cell research, leading the country. So everywhere I look, we had a lot of successes. It didn't end the way I would like it to end, but as my wife said, you know what? You'll probably live 10 years longer. You're a lot more fun to be around. And so I'm making the best of the time I have now.
What do you say about why, to use your word, you were unelected by the people?
You know, the people have to decide for themselves. Obviously, we had some challenges. We had the energy crisis, which people now realize was a total fraudulent activity on the part of Enron and many other energy suppliers. They totally deceived the utilities, who were going bankrupt because they were charging the utilities an arm and a leg for power. And then we had a recession. And when you have a recession on top of something that annoyed people, namely the lights go out, you know, they don't like it. I still think I would have won that recall if I'd been running against anyone other than a celebrity. A celebrity, you know, has a lot of cachet. Witness the person in the White House today. If people think they know the person, they see him on television, they think he's a member of the family. It's very, very hard to have to campaign against a celebrity. But notwithstanding, I have no regrets. I enjoyed every moment. A lot got accomplished. If I had to do over again, I wouldn't do anything different.
How were those first few months, though, for you? Or maybe it was longer than that. It's hard for anybody to get to a just-deal-with-it place when there's been a significant shift in their lives. How was 2003?
You know, I got on the plane to go home that night and woke up the next morning, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I've spent 32 years in public life. I was the chief of staff to Governor Brown, a legislator, a controller, two terms, a lieutenant governor, twice elected governor, and I feel blessed. We did a lot, and, you know, this is a new day. I'm going to start on a new career, and that's exactly how I approached it. I had no regrets. I'm going to come to the Capitol three times in a month, but I haven't been here since the beginning of the year. So my life is in Los Angeles. I'm with the Loeb & Loeb law firm. I've been with them for 14 years. I enjoy it very much. I do not dwell on our successes. I don't dwell on our failures. I'm just enjoying this chapter of my life.
Back then to being chief of staff for Jerry Brown at the very beginnings of these four terms as governor. And the Jerry Brown you were working for then. And by the way, did he call you chief of staff?
No, he's technically executive secretary.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's what the statute says. But it's basically the governor's top aide. And I told people my primary qualification was that I was a bachelor. He was like 36. I was like 31 or 2. And, he worked, as I'm sure he does today, all the time. Most of what I learned about politics, I learned from him. I was just with him last week for a little bit as he swore in a new justice to the Supreme Court. And everybody says the same thing that I learned. There's nobody like him. He is both brilliant. He understands politics, but he's been shaped by his time in the seminary, by his time with Mother Teresa, by his time with the Zen Buddhist, traveling around the world. And he has just all these experiences to draw upon when deciding what initiatives to propose, how to respond to legislation coming at him. And I think he's done a fantastic job inheriting $28 billion of deficit from previous governors and turning that into a $14 billion surplus. So Gavin Newsom could not thank him for a better present. A state that's on much sounder footing, respected around the world, and an ample surplus. That having been said, every governor realizes at some point they're probably going to face a recession. So I hope the legislative leaders that helped Jerry Brown accomplish this financial turnaround and Gavin Newsom realize that that surplus was took a lot of effort and a lot of people to acquire, and they should not spend it all tomorrow.
You mentioned Josh Groban, so I want to detour and hear the side story, because there's Josh Groban, the man just elected to the California State Supreme Court, and there's Josh Groban, the world-famous singer-songwriter. The two of them must be joking about getting confused, but you are one person where the points of both men's lives converge, right?
And they converged just a couple of days ago when I was up for Josh Groban's swearing-in, Governor. Performed that ceremony, Governor Brown. So I was tweeting about how great it was to be at Josh Groban's investiture, if you will, as a associate justice of the Supreme Court. The whole court was there. What I call the real Josh Groban chimed in and he says, this is fate. 20 years ago, almost to the day, I was at a gala for Gray Davis. It was my first big gig. And now I have someone with my name's sitting in the Supreme Court. You think this is happenstance? I don't think so.
So it was his first big gig.
That's
to
what
be
he
at
told me. That's what
you?
He always told me. Yeah, he was barely 17 years old, and we had, the Arco Arena was pretty, lots and lots, thousands of people there. So it was a big event for him, and a big event for me.
Well, just the fact that you call him the real Josh Groban.
Well, but he's the real Josh Groban.
He was the first, anyway.
The first, right? Yeah. I met him before Justice Josh Groban.
I'm talking with former California Governor Gray Davis. He was in office from 1999 to 2003. Governor Brown continually talks about the money being temporary, about the economy and the budget being volatile. Given the experience that you have, how should Gavin Newsom look at where the state is right now and his discussion of wanting to put some funding mechanisms in place, for example, for early childhood, looking at programs where he wants a structure that's sustaining for age groups or families in the state?
Gavin Newsom lived through the difficult times when he was lieutenant governor. He was right across the hall from the governor. So he saw all the cuts the legislature had to make and the governor had to make in programs that had been put in by previous legislators and previous governors. So he saw how painful that process was. And I can just tell you, back in my day, to pass a budget, you had to get a two-thirds vote, even if you were not raising taxes. So that meant every year you had to find some compromise with the Republicans. And they, my first 4 years, wanted to continually reduce the vehicle license fee, which was a form of a tax.
Often known as the car tax.
Yes.
And a lot of people will say that the car tax was the final decision maker in
well,
your
it,
era.
Well, it might have been. But just keep in mind, every year we reduced, the first 4 years, we kept reducing the car tax more and more. And so by year four, it was 50% of what it was. So I had reduced the car tax by 50%, and they had that money in their pocket. So I was convinced myself that taking it back for 1 year would not be a problem. That was a big problem. So Gavin is aware of that. Plus, he saw all the angst and dismay when people have a program, whether it's a health program or a scholarship program or a loan to go to community college or state college, and all of a sudden that money's not available. You're a sophomore, you need it for your junior or senior year. It's devastating to you. So he has seen both the good times and the bad times, and I think he will be judicious in all his decisions. He certainly talked about continuing the fiscal policies of Governor Brown and building on the success that he and the legislature have created. So I have confidence in him. I think he's got all the skills. He's seen the good times and the bad, and I'm sure he prefers the former to the latter and will do his best to keep California in the right spot.
Tell me about the relationship you have with the incoming governor. You and Gavin Newsom know each other and are very close based on his response and support of you politically in the past.
Gavin Newsom was the second person to endorse me in Northern California when I was in third or fourth place at the time. And I've always had a very warm spot in my heart for him. Several times he was thinking about running against Jerry Brown, and I was trying to tell him that I think the world of him, but my first allegiance is to Jerry Brown, and can't we find a way where you guys aren't running against each other? Happily, I'm sure many people advised him similarly. And so he spent 8 years watching the Brown administration function. He should have all the skill sets and all the experience he needs to be a fantastic governor, not a good governor, a fantastic governor. And it's an art, not a science. But if he gets any luck at all, his recession, if he gets one, will be not severe, and he won't have to make any drastic cutbacks.
The Economist in 2009, I believe, called California ungovernable. And then headlines and news organizations and people everywhere picked up on that. And for a long time, that stuck. Where are we today in this transition to a new governor and that word ungovernable?
You know, it's a remarkable turnaround, and 90% of the credit goes to Governor Jerry Brown. He sat down with every legislator, Republican and Democrat, after he was elected in 2010, just to explain the difficulties we're facing. And he sat down with the courts, even though they're co-equal branches, and said, look, we'd all like to get what we want out of Sacramento, but we've got to respond to this challenge. And so he sat down with the executive, obviously, the legislative and the judiciary, and they found ways to, through innovation and through frugality, to get us through that difficult time. And it was just remarkable, and he got some breaks. He went out and campaigned for a tax increase, which was $7 billion a year, but he had like a $28 billion deficit he was inheriting. So he got a strong economy. He and the legislature made some tough decisions early on, and he put California back on the map. We are, again, to use Reagan's term, a shining city on a hill, and we are well-regarded around the country, and we've always been well-regarded around the world.
What's needed, then, to be governor now, with where the state of California is in the midst of the country, the global economy, that's different from when you were governor?
I believe, Beth, that each governor governs for his or her time. So I was elected after 16 years of Republican governors. When I was elected, there were 27 Republican congresspeople that were Democrats and 25 Republican. Now we have about 44 Democrats and about 9 Republicans. So the state has gotten far more progressive than when I was elected. When I was elected, they remember the Manson killings, they remember the Night Stalker, they remember Pauline Class. All this stuff was a real problem, and the legislature and I responded to it. So we're in a different era. I expect his appointees will be very diverse. I expect he will focus on health care, as he campaigned on. I expect he will do his best to help kids get off to a better start in life. He kept saying, you know, we don't have an achievement gap. We have a readiness gap because kids are not ready to go to school. And so focusing on 0 to 3 and then funding enough money for $125 million to get sure make sure there's enough spots in preschool to a point where after 4 years, every child, low-income child, will have a spot in preschool. Those are fundamental changes that will pay off big time in how well people turn out, hopefully to become productive citizens, to do something positive in life, and make this place a better place than they found it.
Projected out another 10 years, where do you see the state going and what kind of words will we be using to describe it?
The good news about California is that we are the most inventive, creative people in America for sure. I was born in New York City, and I have seen young people in the East Coast, young people in the West Coast, and I'd like to say when you're born in the East, after you're educated, you want to join a company. In California, after you're educated, you want to start a company. So we are, our future is bright because we are the home of innovation in America, some would say in the world. Are we going to have increasing challenges from climate change? Yes. But hopefully we'll have enough smart people that can take the steps necessary to minimize the damage to human life as well as to our economy. I am 100% bullish on California. It's the greatest place in the world to live. If you're not living here, come out here for a second opinion, because I tell people, just go to the coast. They say, well, what direction? I say, it doesn't matter. Go north, go south, go to San Francisco, go to the capital, go to the Central Valley. Wherever you go, it's a very exciting place to live. It's not without its problems, but we have enormous human capital here that I think will add up to better days for California.
Thank you, Governor.
My pleasure.
And again, thanks to former California Governor Gray Davis for that conversation. It was recorded last week. We'll post a longer version of the chat later today on our website. Governor Davis and his wife Sharon are among the many guests arriving for today's inauguration of Gavin Newsom. Our special live coverage with KQED begins at 11. The political junkie Ken Rudin is standing by. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.